that lived in the air. They said whoever challenged him would die. Their controls would freeze up. Their planes would buffet wildly, and they would disintegrate. The demon lived at Mach 1 on the meter, 750 miles an hour, where the air could no longer move out of the way. He lived behind a barrier through which they said no man could ever pass. They called it the sound barrier. Then they built a small plane, the X-1, to try and break the sound barrier. And men came to the high desert of California to ride it. They were called test pilots. And no one knew their names.
Prayer of those in prayer. Mm. I was looking at the pictures on your wall. And I was wondering, how come a fancy pilot like Slick over there doesn't have his picture up there? What do you have to do to get your picture up there anyway?
You have to die, sweetie. Well, Jaeger, you old bastard. Don't just stand there in the doorway like some lonesome goddamn mouse shit sheep herder. Get your ass over here and have a drink.
Hey, I got you something.
Look, Slick, you could be the first. The man who breaks the sound barrier will be on top. Hell, you'd be the one they remember.
Slick, you're the best civilian pilot around.
Yes, sir. Afternoon.
Slick, you're our
pilot. Get that helmet.
Yeah.
You're our first choice.
It might work. Looks like the galloping ghost in this.
Some people say the sound barrier can't be broke. Engineer will tell you it's an absolute. Like the firmness of the earth. Sound barrier's a farm you can buy in the sky. He'll tell you the controls will freeze up on you, you can't budge a stick. He'll tell you anybody tries to break it will auger in. Well, now, maybe it can't be broke. Then again, maybe it can. Maybe it can only be broke for a specified sum.
How much?
$150,000.
Come on, Slick, give us a break.
Non-negotiable, as usual.
What are we going to do now?
That guy in the corner. Jaeger's his name. He's some kind of war hero. Shot down 5 Germans in one day. They say he's a natural-born stick-and-rudder man. Express liaison man for the Air Force, I think.
You know of any problems with him?
Only one.
What's that?
Holding him back.
Major. Say there, Jaeger.
Sir?
We were just talking to Slick here about the sound barrier.
Is that right?
And we feel that the X-1 is ready to have a go at it.
We think the X-1's got the answer to go beyond Mach 1.
If there is any beyond. So what do you think, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what, half these engineers never been off the ground, you know. I mean, they're liable to tell you that the sound barrier is a brick wall in the sky. It'll rip your ears off if you try to go through it. If you ask me, I don't believe the damn thing even exists.
Waitress, a drink from Mr. Jaeger here.
No, thanks, I got one.
So, do you think you want to have a go at it?
I might.
Since, as you say, this sound barrier doesn't really exist, how much...
How much you got? I'm just joking. The Air Force is paying me already. Ain't that right, sir?
Well, sure, Jaeger, but...
So when do we go?
Well, how about tomorrow morning?
I'll be there.
See you there.
How much are you paying him?
I think it's $283.
A week?
A month.
Well, that's not bad. Not bad.
First fella to break the sound barrier is gonna get a free steak with all the trimming.
I'll have my medium rare, please. Have you ever been caught out on the desert alone before?
I never have. I don't think I ever will. Never did meet the man who could catch me out there.
On behalf of Jackrabbit.
Forget it, Flyboy. You'd never catch me.
I believe I will.
Can't be done.
Could I ask you something?
Forget it, sweetie. She's his wife.
Tiger.
What you two been up to, huh?
Oh. Where's Ridley?
Tell me they're waiting on you.
Ridley. Hey, Jack, can I talk to you a second?
Sure.
Morning.
What's up, Steve? I got a little problem. Horse threw me over at Ponto's last night. I couldn't take my goddamn ribs up.
I bet you dangled.
Well, you might say like I broke a couple of things, bitches. Damn. Anyway, I'm not going to be able to lean over to shut the damn door, you know? You got any ideas?
Your left side okay?
Yeah. Look, I don't want these guys knowing about it because they'll find somebody else to fly this thing.
Try to fix you up a handle.
Thanks, man.
Mr. Russell, can you help me out? We've got a small emergency. I need to borrow your broom handle here just for a second. Would you hold this right here? Got to work. Thank you, sir.
Punch a hole in the sky.
We'll be right back.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
How you feeling, Mr. Martin Yeager?
Oh, just about right.
Ms. Yeager?
Thanks, buddy.
Square one. Hey, wait a minute.
Say, Redley, make another note here, would you? Must be something wrong with this old mock meter. Jumped plumb off the scale. Gone kind of screwy on me.
You go ahead and bust it. We'll fix it. Personally, I think you're seeing things.
Could be. I'm still going upstairs like a bat out of hell.
We did it!
No, we finally broke the sound barrier.
to Los Angeles.
Who are you calling?
The press. This is big news. Sound barrier's finally been broken.
No, sir. No press.
What?
No word of this is to go beyond the flight line.
What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
No, sir. Sorry. No press. Those are orders. National security.
But the war's over.
Well, look, pal. Maybe they don't want someone to know.
Who?
The Russians, maybe.
The Russians? They're our allies.
Well, anyway, someone figured it out that way. And that's the way it is.
Word will get out, Major. Maybe not to the press, not to the general public, but pretty soon every fighter jock, every rocket ace, every rat racer in the country will be headed this way. Each one of them wanting to push the outside of the envelope and get to the top of the pyramid.
Oh!
Edwards Air Force Base. This is the place to be, huh? They're going faster and farther and higher here than anywhere else. I'll tell you something else, too, honey. Just a matter of time before we get ourselves worked right up that old ladder, just like we did back there at Langley.
We? You mean you?
Hey, hon, we're a team. I move up, you move up. Right to the top of the old pyramid.
Come on, you're scaring the girls.
Come on, pretty. Who's the best pilot you ever saw? Huh? Who's the best pilot you ever saw? You're looking at it, baby. Now, come on, cheer up. Hey, that will let you down.
Well, look who's here.
Is that Gus Grissom from Langley Field? What is an ace like you doing in a place like this?
Well, if it ain't hot dog.
Gordo, Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Gordo here thinks he's one of those hot dog pilots you hear so much about.
Well, Gus, you got a short memory. I am not one of them hot dog pilots. I am the hot dog man himself. I guess you're just a little shy to tell this guy how he used to wax your tail.
Huh? Wax my tail?
Yeah.
Well, hot dog, you are just in my shadow. That's right where you'll always be.
What are you two rookies gonna have?
Rookies? Now, hold on, sis. You are looking at a whole new ball game here now. Back in a couple of years, I bet you're even going to immortalize us by putting our pictures up there on your wall. Would I say something wrong here? Or?
I tell you, we got two categories of pilots around here. We got your prime pilots that get all the hot planes, and we got your pudknockers who dream about getting the hot planes. Now, what are you two pudknockers gonna have, huh?
Scotch.
God, you know what happened. The machine just...
Dora, it's not the machine, it's the man. The guy was dead before he went up, and this is no place to talk about it.
Good one, son. Come on now, fire it in here. Here you go. Easy one.
Look at old Jaeger. Come on top of the pyramid for five goddamn years. Every time somebody goes faster, he just goes up again. Stays the fastest man alive.
Good one.
You know, sometimes all it will take is just the sound of a truck starting. I'm really glad we could talk. I thought I was the only one who had these nightmares.
Yeah, me too.
Nobody ever wants to talk about anything around here. Everybody's always trying to
maintain an even stray. Well, you marry a fighter jock and you marry the military. Tell you one thing, though. Military owes me for all this. One day I expect the military to make good. Well, it sure ain't your average adult life. I went back east to a reunion, and all my friends could talk about was their husband's work. How dog-eat-dog and cutthroat it was on Madison Avenue. Places like that. I wondered how they would have felt if each time their husband went in to make a deal, there was a 1 in 4 chance he wouldn't come out of that meeting. I'm going home to my folks in San Diego.
What did Gordo say?
He maintained an even strain.
Look at him out there. You'd think they were talking about sports.
Oh, gee.
Go, hot dog, go.
Man, sometimes they're just such assholes.
Hey, honey! You want a hot dog?
I'm leaving, Gordo.
Are you getting ready for hot dogs?
Bun's ready.
Hey, look at that!
Yeah, C-558 Phase 2. Scott Cross.
It sure as hell is.
And he's pushing the outside of the envelope.
He must be going for a record.
He's shooting a Mach 2, I heard.
On the 50th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first historic flight, another historic flight takes place as Scott Crossfield streaks across the skies over the high desert in California. Mach 2, almost 1,500 miles per hour, and a new world record. It is a field day for the press as all-around congratulations come from a previous record holder as he shakes the hand of the fastest man alive, Scott Crossfield. And there's a comradeship of speed.
To Scott Crossfield, the fastest man alive.
That's it. To the D-558 Phase 2.
I think just a little quicker. I think that the newlyweds didn't know the difference between Vaseline and putty. All their windows fell out.
Compliments of ponchos, Scotty.
Thank you, Fred. One thing Crossfield's right about. The real test wasn't Mach 2. I guess that demon lives out at about 2.3 on your Mach meter.
All right.
Yeah, but Mach 2 was the magic number. Like 60 homers, like batting 400, like 4-minute mile, if they ever break that. Press likes a nice round number. After that, they don't care. Till the next magic number. You need some more than speed records in this day and age. You need coverage.
Coverage? Oh, you mean them little root weevils that crawl around popping off cameras in your face?
Those root weevils write history.
Yeah, well, let them write the damn history and let the pilots fly the airplane.
Pilots. You know what really makes your rocket ships go up?
Hell, the aerodynamics alone takes so long to explain to you that...
Funding. That's what makes your ships go up. I'll tell you something. And you guys, too. No Bucks, no Buck Rogers. Whoever gets the funding gets the technology. Whoever gets the technology stays on top.
Bye, boy. Let's dance.
I'll drink to that.
What an old friend I happen to see. I introduced her to my love, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember.
Crossfield soon won.
No, he won't. He'll be going after that demon that lives out in the thin air.
Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful
forgiven on you. So just take it easy. Ring her out a little bit this time.
You got any gum or don't you?
Yeah, I got me a stick.
Loan some, will you? I'll pay you back later.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Okay, drop her, Ridley.
All right, y'all. Here we go again. 3, 2, 1, drop.
Sputnik.
We know.
Sit down.
And as I was saying, whoever controls the high ground of space will control the world. The Roman Empire controlled the world because it could build roads. Later, the British Empire was dominant because it had ships. In the air stage, we were powerful because we had the airplane. Now, the communists have established a foothold in outer space. Pretty soon they have damn space platforms up there to drop nuclear bombs on us, like rocks from a highway overpass. Now, how in the hell did they ever get ahead of us?
All right, gentlemen, I think we're ready.
What?
Is there a loose plug over there anywhere?
Oh, here it is. I'll get it. Senator Johnson's right. This is Armageddon, the decisive battle between the forces of good and evil. We're engaged in a struggle for survival. There you go.
Thank you. This footage was assembled from sources operating under deep cover at great risk.
Very great.
And we're very fortunate that this material did not perish with a couple of the men. This is secret footage of the Russian Korabl rocket. And these are the German scientists that they captured after the war.
Was it them? Was it their German scientists that got them up there first?
No. No, it was not, Senator. Our Germans are better than their Germans.
And that's Titov on the right, and on the left, that's Gagarin.
Oh, no, I think that's Titov on the left, Gagarin's on the right.
Hmm? No.
Yeah.
Well, they bear great resemblance to each other.
Well,
at any rate, if the Soviets ever do put a man up there, it will no doubt be one of these two. Most likely, the one on the left.
Gagarin.
Titov.
No, I'm telling you.
Isn't that their chief designer?
Yes, we know very little about him.
Let us see him again.
Here's some more of him. Somehow they've developed a program of stupendous dimensions, and he is clearly the genius behind it all.
I, for one, do not intend to go to sleep by the light of a communist moon. Get that moron off of there.
Yes. No, no, no. Drake, please.
We could have orbited a satellite a year ago if we had been given the green light. Now we must get something up there quick and dirty any way at all.
What?
By combining our available rockets, the Redstone, the Atlas, I agree with those who say that we could launch a pod.
A pot?
A pod. Absolute. Now, we will be in full control of this pod. It will go up like a cannonball and come down like a cannonball, splashing down in the water of the ocean with a parachute to spare the life of the spacemen inside.
Spaceman?
Specimen.
Well, what kind of specimen?
A tough one. Responsive to orders. I had in mind a gimp.
Gimp? Well, what the hell is a gimp?
A gimp? A chimpanzee, Senator. An ape, huh?
The first American into space is not going to be a chimpanzee.
No? Who then would you put into space, Mr. President?
Mr. President, we have film up of some people that we think are very strong candidate possibilities.
We'd just like to run it by you and see if we can stimulate some thinking.
May we?
Okay.
These are people we felt would be excellent, especially in the splashdown stage. We had our eye on the one on the right.
No, on the left.
Right.
Ah, these people, of course, very experienced in handling their own machinery.
And they already have their own helmets. I don't know if that's a factor.
And as you'll see, they're quite comfortable in conditions of flame. Now, this is personnel who have very well developed equilibrium.
Good middle ear.
Also very nice people. Very easy to work with. And with some work doctor, they could be very responsive to orders.
Oh, now this was my first choice. Take a look at the man with the hood on. You see, because he works without benefit of eyesight, his other senses have become acutely sharpened.
We feel that once in space, there'll be very little need for eyeballing at any rate. Now, the cannonball effect you were talking about, Doctor, we're basically doing some thinking about putting a couple into orbit. Possibly adds emotional stability. This individual combines many of the plus factors that we've mentioned. Ease with flames, comfort at heights, and agility in the splashdown phase. Also, he is available as of the 15th.
No.
Drake?
No, no. I want test pilots.
Test
pilots? Test pilots? No, you can't deal with that.
Mr. President, I'm sure we can do better with another type of man. Any other type of man. A more manageable type, perhaps. This will only complicate things. With a man, we must guarantee a safe return.
Mr. President, I think you'd be wise to reconsider. No, Lyndon.
Test pilots. Looks like we're headed for some air bases.
Not just some air bases. We want the great test pilots. There's only one place to go.
I was there once before, and I hoped I'd never have to go back. It's a godforsaken spot in the roof of the high desert in California. Some kind of prehistoric throwback of an airfield called Edwards. They got some kind of weird mad monk squadron up here, you know? Living in rat shacks. Terrible conditions. Corrugated tin, bare bones, low rent. And this is the joint they hang out in. Pancho's Happy Bottom Riding Club.
It's called Happy Bottom Riding Club?
Yeah.
How'd it get a name like that?
Ask Pancho.
Lockout?
Yeah. So we're supposed to meet the liaison officer here. They are expecting us.
They? You keep saying they. Who's they?
The best...
Give me that.
The best test pilots in the world.
Here?
Yeah. They got some kind of a little brotherhood. They keep thinking they got the right stuff.
What do you mean, what kind of stuff? You mean heroism, bravery?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, there aren't any snakes around here, are there?
Yeah, in the bushes. Heroism and bravery are part of it, but it seems to be more to it.
Well, what do they say it means?
They don't say anything. That's part of the thing. They don't talk about it.
They don't talk about it? You mean to outsiders?
To each other. To outsiders, they say even less. Anyway, they're all here. Including the ace of aces himself.
Who's that?
Jaeger.
Never heard of him.
Must be our gentleman from Washington, scouting for astronauts. Welcome to Edmonton.
Scouting for lab rabbits, more like.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get what you said.
What I said was lab rabbits.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it just means that you boys don't need no honest-to-God pilots. You know, what you ought to get is a little old lab rabbit to curl up inside your damn capsule. You know, with his heart going pitter-patter. And wire up the kazoo. I don't hold with it.
I don't either. You want a pilot to be a ballistic missile and then splash down, possibly get lost at sea.
You know, there's some things you can't change. Some peckerwood's got to take the beast up, and some peckerwood's got to land the son of a bitch. And that peckerwood is called a pilot.
You're mighty right.
Boys smell panic in your program. That's one thing they don't respond to. Now, maybe if we talk privately, that Jaeger there and some of the other boys...
That's
one
Jaeger?
One, yeah.
I'll tell you what else. Anybody goes up in that damn thing is going to be spam in a can.
I'll drink to that.
Jaeger doesn't fit the profile. Jaeger doesn't fit?
No, he didn't go to college. We're only taking college personnel.
I think we're going to have to forget about Walker and Crossfield and the other civilian pilots, too. I mean, security clearance just takes too long with those people. And besides, they seem a little too independent, you know what I mean?
You mean for this space race, you don't want our best pilots?
I didn't say that. We want the best pilots that we can get.
Hey. Y'all want to drink whiskey?
No, thanks, Fred. Just a little coffee.
I'd like a Coca-Cola.
Coke?
Mm-hmm. In a clean glass.
You know, Gus, there's an old saying that goes, never refuse a combat assignment. Well, there sure is a long line of shit-hot rocket aces around here. Long line.
Hey, hot dog. What the hell's astronaut mean, anyway?
Star Voyager.
Star Voyager Gus Grissom. Yeah, I kind of like the sound of that.
Now, your name is?
My name is Osaiman.
As I understand it, you are the...
Well, I don't know. I don't know who we're going to get to take on
the Russians. Have you
ever seen this guy?
Expedition.
Bill Dana, Jose Jimenez.
I am the G-Balls, Renault. United States in the plan. Yeah. My name is Jose Iman.
Well, now I see that you have some of your space equipment with you. What is that called? The crash helmet?
Oh, I hope not.
Hey, get that guy off. We see him everywhere. The whole country's already laughing at us.
Kyle Singer, Eddie Hodges.
All right, Owen, this is a tall one.
Who's that kid?
And his partner, winner of 5 distinguished flying crosses and holder of the cross-country, coast-to-coast, non-stop, supersonic flight record from the United States Marine Corps, Major John Glenn.
That guy.
Now, can you tell us, what's that song?
Straight enough, straight enough to fly right.
Straighten up and fly right.
Not so dumb, huh?
Major, Eddie here has a little problem with his girlfriend. Did you ever have a problem like that when you were 10?
Yes, I did, Bob. I liked a girl in my class, but all the other guys liked her too, and she didn't pay any attention. But I kept after her, Eddie.
Did you finally get her to notice you?
Yes, I did. In fact, I finally got her to marry me.
They love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shepard.
What?
I'd like you to meet Alan Shepard.
Just the man we came to see.
Well, pleasure.
I guess you've heard about our project. We're going up against the Russians all the way. It's got the highest priority. It's a hazardous undertaking. In fact, it's extremely hazardous, if you get my meaning. It's so hazardous that if you decide not to volunteer, it will not be held against you in any way.
Sounds dangerous.
It is.
Very dangerous. Very.
Count me in.
There's nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing.
Why are you doing this to me?
I'm afraid there's no simple way to explain that to you. There's nothing to worry about. Thank you, number 21.
Number 22, please.
You're going to love it.
Please, sit right there. Put your arm right up here.
Excuse me. You John Glenn?
Yes.
Scott Carpenter.
Hi.
I thought I recognized you from those TV shows. I like them.
I sure had a good time doing them.
Well, I guess we're both here for the same reason, huh?
Yeah. So you have any idea what they've got planned for us?
No, let me check it out.
Okay.
What have you got scheduled?
We're not really free to reveal all the testing.
I don't get this. Sending us down here on a bus disguised as civilians. Come on, Gus. Cut it out. What the hell, huh?
Hey, hot dog, this entire operation is supposed to be hush-hush. We got top-secret orders to blend in with the patient at the clinic down here, so shut up, will you? There might be Russian agents here.
They don't look very Russian to me, Gus. All we got here is your local gentry, and you got your Navy and Marine pilots over here. Who are they trying to fool?
Come on, Gus. None of these guys is up to Air Force standards. I hear they got some 50-some-odd guys trying out for 7 spots. After they pick us 3, there's only going to be 4 spots open.
Sounds right to me.
You bet.
Where do we go from here?
You go in that door.
Who are you?
My name, Jose Jimenez.
You talking to us, buddy?
All Air Force pilots go in that door. When they all go in, they all look the same. But when they all come out, they all look different.
How's that? Fella, I said, how's that?
When they all come out, they all look scared.
Buenos dias, Gonzalez.
Yeah, buenos dias yourself.
Oh, there you are. Would you come this way?
That didn't fool me a bit.
You mean that Mexican guy there?
Mexican guy, that guy's Navy all the way. Look, there's another swabo right there.
I'm gonna open the box just a little bit so you can see it. Don't put your fingers in there. This thing will bite them off, man. This baby is vicious. Look at this.
Hey! Real swabo sense of humor. Now, come on, let's see what there is to be scared about back here.
The ball must be maintained in the position between these two lines. You may begin now. The record is 91 seconds.
Terrific, Scott.
darn good.
Hey, you were probably just getting warmed up, John. Next time I doubt I'd be the one to win.
Hey, did you hear that?
I don't know about that.
We're competing with Arch and Jughead.
Just a bunch of miserable putt knockers.
Hey, this is one fighter, Jack, who is not a miserable putt knocker. Now, she's a woman susceptible to charm, just like all the rest. Hi, Doc.
You want what in there?
Sperm.
What for?
Sperm motility factors.
Yeah, but, Nurse, how am I supposed to?
The best results seem to be obtained through fantasization accompanied by masturbation, followed by ejaculation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds easy enough, but tell you what, if I get stuck in there, you mind coming in and helping me out a little bit?
Please return it to the lab.
Yeah.
Hey, cut out the humming in there.
Knock it off in there.
Okay, Glenn, I know that's you. So just knock it off, because I'm trying to concentrate in here.
My, that was quick.
There's plenty more where that came from. You want to see me again, nurse?
I'd like to meet your wife.
My wife?
Yes, you're married, aren't you?
Yeah, sure, I'm married, all right.
Happily?
Yeah, a real stable relationship, too.
Good. I'd like to meet your wife.
You'd like to, meet my wife?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow's no good,
Tomorrow.
Now look, honey, I'm talking about a whole new ball game here now. Fresh start. I tell you, hon, this astronaut thing is the best way for us to move up that ladder. When we play our cards right, honey, we go all the way to the top.
We? You mean you?
I mean we. We're a team. Ever let you down before?
Yeah.
Judy. Who's the best pilot you ever saw? Huh?
You're looking at him.
You're all set. I told her you were stable, well-adjusted, attentive, persevering. I lied.
That a girl.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She laughed. She knows you too well, Gordo.
Oh, come on, let's face it. Some women just have a problem with men, you know?
Yeah, I know.
At secret locations throughout America, 56 of our greatest pilots are at this very moment vying to be chosen as one of the first men to go into space. These are the most up-to-date tests imaginable. This is the most rigorous physical testing ever done to human beings. They're being subjected to every kind of stress our doctors and engineers can invent. These men are preparing themselves for the ordeal of capsule life. They will be guiding a brand new machine through a strange and hostile environment. And they will be faced with emergencies no man can foresee. Many are called, but few will be chosen. These are men who will have to face any danger for their country. No individual will have ever been so adequately prepared for an event in advance. And each man knows that whoever survives this competition is destined to become a legend in his own time.
Here, hold this. And hold this like this.
When that clamp is released, that balloon inside of you deflates.
Deflates? Or is it John?
2 floors up. Gonzalez will take you there, but wait here with him.
Oh, Gonzalez. Let's go, Gonzalez. Gonzalez? Por favor.
Commander, sir.
And work.
Push button. Push button. Push button.
Skulls. Hollows.
Jesus.
Open the door.
Hello.
Cara de molho. Can't they hit you?
You know, Mr. Shepard, me and my friends think your Jose Jimenez invitation is A-OK. But what you're doing with it is B-A-D.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
No,
open!
Open!
Tell me something, Mr. Gonzalez.
You ever have any explosions doing this?
All the time. It's a mess.
Tell me something else, Mr. Gonzalez. How am I doing?
I think you're going to make it, man. I think you're going to be an astronaut.
After a long and unprecedented series of evaluations, which told our medical scientists of their superb adaptability to their upcoming flight, it is my pleasure to introduce to you 7 Americans, gentlemen all, Virgil I. Gus Grissom.
Mr. Slayton?
Mine think it's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Surratt.
They're all for it.
Over here. You know, I don't think any of us could really go on with something like this if we didn't have pretty good backing at home, really. My wife's attitude towards this has been the same as it's been all along through my flying. If it's what I want to do, she's behind it. And by golly, my kids are too, 100%.
I don't believe this.
Oh, but look at them out there. They're eating it up.
I was brought up believing that you are placed on Earth here more or less with sort of a 50-50 proposition. And this is what I still believe. We're placed here with certain talents and capabilities, and it's up to each one of us to use those talents and capabilities as best you can. If we use our talents properly, I think there is a power greater than any of us that will place the opportunities in our way. When I think of Orville and Wilbur Wright standing on a hill at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, tossing a coin in the air to see which one would take the first airplane flight, and then I think of us here today. I just thank God I live in a country where the best and the finest in a man can be brought out.
I'd like to second some of the things that Mr. Glenn has said here today. And I think that we are all very, very fortunate that we have been, blessed with the talents that have been picked for something like this. And I think that we would be most remiss in our duty indeed if we did not volunteer for something that is as important as this is to our country and to the world in general right now.
And we're Air Force boys.
Don't you agree, Dee?
I agree absolutely with Gordo. But I don't think we're saying anything new here. I think we're just saying the same things that need to be said again and again with fierce conviction.
Gentlemen, can you tell us if any of you go to church regularly?
Yes, as far as church goes, I attend regularly.
Gentlemen, which one of you will be first into space?
Good.
These are the greatest pilots in America.
How much do they make? $7,000 a year?
Tops. At the most, Mr. Luce.
Well, with this one deal, I'm giving them $500,000 split seven ways over 3 years. How's that sound? Well, now I want them all to meet my people who will write their true stories. Naturally, these stories will appear in Life magazine under their own bylines. For example, by Betty Grissom, or by Virgil I. Grissom, or...
Gus.
What was that?
Gus. Nobody calls me by that other name.
Gus. An astronaut named Gus? What's your middle name?
Ivan.
Ivan. Well, maybe Gus isn't so bad. Might be something there. All right. All right. You can be Gus.
I bet for all that money they could call you Virgil, couldn't they? They sure could me. Well, what's with her? She seems snobby. I don't get it.
I get it.
He's Mrs. Clean Marine.
Going back to the Cape tomorrow. I wish to heck it wasn't off limits to Wives Inn.
There's so much work to do anyway. More tests, training, studying.
What about after?
After hours, I'll run a lot. I'm going to get up to at least 5 miles a day. There's a beautiful, long beach there. It's called Cocoa Beach. You can run forever. Scott Carpenter will run with me. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's real philosophical.
What about...
The others just want to get up there, get the job done, and keep the Mickey Mouse down to a minimum. Boy, they're good men. Good men. They'll all give 100% when the time comes. Guess they think I'm kind of a gung-ho type. Eddie Attaboy. Hairy hair shirt. Well, you agree?
What?
You agree? My own wife? Do you think I'm a Dudley Do-Right? Do you? Yeah? Well, that's me, I guess. Lonely beacon of restraint. Self-sacrifice in a squall of car crazies. Mm-hmm. It's important to America to get a man up there first. I'm planning on being the first man to ride the rocket.
Important thing in rocket travel.
Well, to me, the most important thing in the rocket travel is the blast off.
The blast off?
I always take a blast before I take off. Otherwise, I wouldn't go near that thing.
You can
He loves that cello.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything to put this program in a bad light.
We've got the opportunity of a lifetime, and I'm sorry, but I am not going to stand by and let other people compromise the whole darn thing.
You know, and I know, this could lead to something very unfortunate.
It's ticking you off.
I'm talking about the playing around that's going on. I'm talking about the young girls. I'm talking about the cookies. I'm talking about keeping our pants zipped and our wicks dry around here.
Mr. Glenn, you are way out of line. I'd advise you not to try to foist your view of morality on anybody else in this group. Each man here has volunteered to do a job. Each man here is devoting long hours of training to prepare for it. And doing many things above and beyond the strict call of duty, such as morale tours of factories.
Such as bringing girls up to your room in the middle of the night.
And foregoing any semblance of an orderly family life. And Mr. Glenn, as long as a man uses good sense, what he does with his zipper or his wick is his own business.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold it just a minute.
I'm from Life magazine. I'm not with
Life.
These people.
Life. You can't go in there. Nothing crazy. Get out of here.
Why does what he's got?
Whether we like it or not, we're public figures. Whether we deserve it or not, people are going to look up to us. We have got a tremendous responsibility here.
You cannot tell a pilot what he's doing when he's not flying. Well,
you can't tell a pilot.
Wait a minute. You've got it all wrong. The issue here ain't pussy. The issue here is monkey.
What?
Us. We are the monkey.
What Gus is saying is that we're missing the point. What Gus is saying is that we all heard the rumor that they want to send a monkey up first. Well, none of us wants to think that they're going to send a monkey up to do a man's work. But what Gus is saying is that what they're trying to do to us is send a man up to do a monkey's work. Us, a bunch of college-trained chimpanzees.
Fucking A, Bubba.
All right, so what Gus is saying is that we got to change things around here. He's saying that we are pilots. And we know more about what we need to fly this thing than anybody else. So what we have to do is to alter the experiment. And what that comes down to is who is going to control this thing from here on out.
What Gus is saying here is that we've got to stick together on this deal.
were designed to decondition, to desensitize, to adapt out fears. Since we have developed fully automated vehicles, all we see from the occupants in the capsule, you see, is data. The so-called astronaut would merely be a redundant component. Yeah? And in here, you can see these jimps are capable of many of the same tasks as men, and they are much more cooperative. They are being put through every phase of the astronaut training. As far as we are concerned, the question still remains which one will be first, the man or the monkey. We shall see.
Where are you planning on putting a window?
Window? There's no window.
No window? What about the hatch?
The hatch?
Yeah, the hatch. We need a hatch with explosive bolts that we can open ourselves.
I think there is something you do not understand. This is the final form of the capsule. No hatch.
What would happen if the automatic controls went out?
Backups, checks, etc. This would not happen.
I said, what would happen if it did?
The pilot would have to fly it back.
This is the way it is.
You know, I wonder how the press can feel about this.
Great. What does the press have to say about this?
Yeah, what does they have to say about it?
Well, do you boys know what makes this bird go up? Funding makes this bird go up.
That's right.
No bucks. No Buck Rogers. And, press over there.
They all want to see Buck Rogers.
And that's us. Buck Rogers.
You see, those fellas over there, they've been making us out as the 7 finest and bravest pilots in all America. And if a story were to come out in the press that we were not being allowed to fly as pilots...
We won a window.
There could maybe be, in future capsules, be a window or...
No, that's where the hatch with explosive bolts goes.
The hatch with the explosive... Yeah, there could be a hatch with explosive bolts on the capsule.
That is a spacecraft, sir. We do not refer to it as a capsule.
Spacecraft. Yeah. A hatch with explosive bolts on the spacecraft. There. And there will be pitch in your thrusters, which will enable the astronaut occupant...
The pilot. Astronaut, pilot.
Yeah, the astronaut pilot. To have control of the re-entry procedure.
Thank you. We appreciate it. You wouldn't mind if we had the press over here take a few photos of us by our spacecraft now, would you?
Good idea, John.
Go in there now. Look, Glenn's waving us in. Hey, what's your problem? Hey,
Hey, hold it.
Smile. Okay, smile. How about turning around?
Smile.
Perfect.
Smile.
Okay, thank you.
Smile.
One more time.
Smile.
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 which one of you is going to be lucky enough, you think, to be the first one to be launched into space?
Smile. Okay, that's it.
Does he look like the kind of guy who'd put doo-doo in the capsule? Now I'm in a can. America's closest. Look at him. Yeah, you take a monkey like this with his wits about him, you can make a Democrat and a politician.
I don't know. I think he's better looking than Crossfield. How would you like to go up with this guy as your co-pilot?
Gagarin.
We know. Sit down.
Customer now, Yuri Gagarin, удивил весь мир своим героическим проникновением в космос. Этот великий человек науки твердо убедил всех тех, кто против нас. Превосходство советских социалистических республик. Будущее наше.
And the flight was canceled.
Is it true we could have beat the Russians by 2 weeks?
And why didn't we send a man in space instead of a monkey?
I think we ought to be forthright, gracious, and magnanimous about this and say, well, the Russian guys just beat the pants off us, that's all. And there's no sense in kidding ourselves about that, but now that the space age has begun, I think there's going to be plenty of work for everybody.
Who will be the second man into space?
I mean, who's going to be the first green man into space, huh?
From Life magazine. We know it's going to be Glenn. Just tell us when it's going to be.
That's a secret.
I'm tired of being forthright, gracious, and magnanimous.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these stupid questions from the press.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of smocks. I'm tired of engineers telling us what we can't do. I'm tired of everybody that says we are not pilots.
Yeah.
I'm tired of monkeys.
Yeah.
Most of all, I'm sick and tired of being second to those darn Russians.
There you go.
And I think it's about time we...
That's someone up there.
That's right.
Delayed.
Fucking A, Bubba. That's right.
Exactly. Just talk to these people. Let's get this thing over the road. I'm tired of messing around.
People in the hierarchy. Just tell them we're ready. Ready to go, let's get up. We've got to catch up on the
storm. Somebody up there. Let's get ahead of those rushes. Let's get everybody up.
these 3 weeks since the Russian Gagarin's flight surprised everybody here, one wretched event has followed another. And people have begun to say our rockets always blow up and our boys always botch it. And there are those who say that this is not the time to be trying desperate deeds in a contest with the Soviets. But the question really is, are we actually ready to launch a man into space? And yet out here at this very moment sits a rocket waiting in the night, and soon one American astronaut will climb atop that rocket in what may be the greatest death-defying stunt ever broadcast. The identity of America's first astronaut has been kept from the public until almost the final moment. The question everyone has asked is, which one will be first?
Quite copy that. Say again, please.
Right. I said everything was A-okay.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought you said. He said everything is A-okay.
He says everything is A-okay. There you have it in a nutshell.
All stations. AMR.
Roger. Auto retro jettison switch.
R. Retro heater switch off.
Roger. Retro heater switch off.
Landing bag switch auto.
Roger. Landing bag switch auto.
This will be only a 15.
This is it, ladies. This is for Life magazine. Perfect.
Louise, my God, they're going after your diaper service man. No, we don't have a diaper service man.
Get back from this line!
Oh, no, really! Oh, my Lord! Please, come on.
Alarm! Come on! Open the door!
Why are they here? What do they want?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here live at the house of Louise Shepherd, wife of astronaut Al Shepherd, who is about to be transported to New York on the historic day, 10/6/1961.
Yes.
Just wanted to keep you informed, Mrs. Shepherd. Everything's A-okay. Nothing to worry about. Just some delay.
What kind of delay?
There's another hold from NASA, another delay. And Alan Shepard sits there patiently waiting. What can be going through a man's mind at this moment?
Gordo. Gordo, I have to urinate.
Urinate?
No. Oh, boy.
Urinate? No, we did not think of that. This is only a 15-minute flight.
Yeah, well, the man's been up there for hours.
Could he just do it in his suit?
It might be dangerous to introduce liquid into the pure oxygen environment of the capsule and the pressure suit. It might cause a short circuit. It could start a fire. No, tell him he cannot.
Say, listen, old buddy. They promise we'll stop at the next gas station.
Request that you remain in a holding pattern till then.
Now, Joe, are you sure you just want a little smidgen?
About a half a couple.
And nothing in it.
That's fine. All right. Alan must have had 4 cups of coffee before he went to work this morning.
All this waiting is driving me crazy. I had a little accident.
Request permission to relieve bladder.
Gordo. Gordo.
Look, the man has got to go. Now, it's either that or we get out the lug wrench and let's go pry him out.
Do it in the suit.
Jose? Permission granted
to wet your diapers any time, son.
Suit thermometer says Freon flow, jumping from 30 to 45.
Let lower chest sensor. No shorter. Moving up fast.
Well, I'm a wetback now.
It is questionable whether we can proceed.
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
4 feet, let's go.
Thank you.
president, who is the chairman of our Space Council and who bears great responsibilities in this field, the members of the House and Senate, the Space Committee, who are with us today, and this decoration, which is going from the ground up here. Yeah.
Jackie, like.
This is very nice. We talked about all kinds of things.
Oh, well, my guest goes up next. Can't wait to talk to Jackie after that.
Oh, you'll love her. Oh, so nice.
Die Einst, Lili Marlene. Die Einst, Lili Marlene.
Oh, Al.
Mr. Shepard. Shepard, sign here. Thank you.
Oh, Gus. I just never realized a gruff, mean son of a bitch like you could be so popular. How'd you get to go up before me?
Huh?
Even before Mr. Clean the Marine.
Charm, my dog. Pure charm. Watch this. Hey, sis. How you doing?
So, how you doing?
Well, I ain't doing it anymore. Damn thing's dragging in the mud and I can't get it up.
Yeah, that's charm, Gus. That's pure charm.
Miss, how'd you like one of these?
I can get one of those from a dime store.
Not one that's been in outer space, you can't. I'm taking these up there with me tomorrow. You think you might like a little souvenir after I get written up in the history books?
Well, I might. If it's been in outer space.
See you after outer space, miss.
All right.
Hey, I don't. Listen, you gotta think ahead to the future. Folks got a taste for things that have actually been there.
Right.
I'm even gonna give you one of these dimes I'm taking up there with me tomorrow so you can play with it in your pocket.
About outer space. Well, why don't you just make sure you don't screw the pooch, Gus?
Oh, God, look at this.
Go get him, Dick.
Exclusively, just reached the apex of its flight since the valuable data for the future flights that will actually orbit the Earth. It could be re-entering the Earth's atmosphere now.
Get ready. Another 15 feet on the way.
you're ready for me to blow the hatch. I'll have to take my helmet off.
Stay here, Liberty Bell. Just waiting for your okay.
Who designed this?
Stay here, Liberty Bell. You're breaking up. Can't hear you.
Anything. I was just lying there. It just blew. I mean, the hatch just blew.
Must have been a technical malfunction. The hatch just blew.
The capsule was rocking around a bit. But there weren't any loose items in the capsule, so I don't see how I could have hit that button. No. I was just lying there, flat on my back. And it just blew.
Thank you, Mr. Grissom. Well, what do you think?
Explosive hatches have been on jet fighters for 10 years. The damn things have been wrung inside out, subjected to trial by heat, by water, by shaking, pounding. We even dropped them from a height of 100 feet onto concrete, and not one of them has ever just blown.
Thank you.
check for any New York.
Uh-oh.
Is there one in Mitchell, Indiana?
Nope.
No jacket?
By order of the President of the United States, the Distinguished Service Medal is awarded to Captain Virgil I. Grissom, who distinguished himself by valor above and beyond the call of duty. These actions reflect great credit upon himself, the Air Force, and the United States of America.
Proud boys.
Hey, look. They filled up the refrigerator. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. A full refrigerator. Oh, I can see this afternoon shaping up just great. And the rest of the day. Tomorrow, too. I mean, what did they want me to do in here? Cook? Oh, and then risk my life and my kids by dragging them across that highway to the worst beach in Florida. Oh, Gus, I wanted to eat in the White House. I wanted to talk to Jackie about things.
Yeah, well, look, I've got to go to the Holiday Inn, you know, for some beer call with the guys.
No! Gus, oh, all those years of test flying, and all those times I waited, and all those times that you weren't there. The military promised. And now they're welching on that damn compact. Look, I am finally Mrs. Honorable Astronaut. But they are treating me like I'm Honorable Mrs. Squirmin' Hatchblower.
I did not do anything wrong! The hatch just blew! It was a glitch! It was a technical malfunction! Why in hell would anyone believe me?
I know that. Oh, but Gus, are these the goodies? Is this how the military pays off? Huh? Oh, Gus, they owe you. But they owe me, too. They owe me. They owe me. They owe me so much. Oh, no. I love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Virgil I. Grissom and his lovely wife, Betty. Gus has just come back from the second trip into outer space, and Betty, how do you feel about this trip?
Oh, I'm so proud of him. I think he was wonderful.
We're all very proud of Gus Grissom. And Gus, how do you feel about the trip? Was it a success?
My God. He lost his cap, Sue, but he's keeping his story.
And to recap yesterday's dramatic events, here we see America's newest hero, Gus Grissom. He is shouting to save the capsule first.
Attaboy, Gus. pull that stuff in flight test, it's all over for him. I say he screwed the pooch, partner. Plain and simple.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get a pooch that can't be screwed, you know?
Exactly. Right now, the president's got his own problems with the Bay of Pigs. He doesn't want the astronauts' image tarnished. Nothing these guys do is going to be called a failure.
These astronauts are our David.
But you think the public would know they're just doing what monkeys have done?
Monkeys? You think a monkey knows he's sitting on top of a rocket that might explode? These astronaut boys, they know that, see? I'll tell you something. It takes a special kind of man to volunteer for a suicide mission, especially when it's on TV. Oh, Gus, he did all right.
Though the capsule was lost, our new hero, astronaut Gus Grissom, was saved. And now President Kennedy has started an even more ambitious space program.
Those who came before us made certain that this country rode the first waves of the Industrial Revolution, the first waves of modern invention, and the first wave of nuclear power.
And this generation does not intend to founder in the backwash of the coming age of space. We need to be a part of it. We need to lead it.
So I never had a complaint coming. And when you went up in those planes, me and the kids. I never had any insurance except a couple months' pay in case anything ever happened. I always hated all that talk about insurance. You know, the government spends just all kinds of time and money teaching new pilots how to be fearless, but they don't spend a goddamn penny teaching you how to be the fearless wife of a test pilot. But I guess I liked it. I guess I liked the kind of man who could push the outside of the envelope. Fly boy. But I never could stand a man who was one of those, remember wins. Those bitter guys that just sit around thinking about old times. If I ever see that happen, I'm going right out the front door. And you'll never catch me.
You know, I'm a fearless man, but I'm scared to death of you.
Oh, no, you're not. But you ought to be.
Tito, sir. How long?
A day? A whole day?
He's orbiting over our country right now.
He's up there now, eh?
Free world needs a man in orbit to unroot all over. So we're grabbing the red rocket and we're going with the Atlas.
You know what that means? We haven't had too much luck with that rocket, John. We're not going to be able to take all the precautions we'd like.
We're ready.
I said it's going to be extremely dangerous.
I said we're ready, 100%.
Thank you, John.
Inside this trim, modest suburban home is Annie Glenn,
wife of astronaut John Glenn, sharing the anxiety and pride of the entire world at this tense moment, but in a very private and crucial way that only she can understand. Her husband John is waiting to be launched into orbit. That's the magic word.
The Vice President would like to see Mrs. Glenn for a moment, if possible.
He's asking for you again.
Tell him no.
I'm sorry, she says no.
But you don't understand. This is very important. The Vice President must see her.
No.
And we are told that after the mission's success, the Vice President will come here and speak with Annie Glenn. Meanwhile, John Glenn waits and waits for the weather to clear so that he can undertake this historic mission.
You know what the Russians really want.
No, sir.
They want our peckers in their pockets.
She still says no.
No? Well, didn't you tell her? I will bring in ABC TV, NBC TV, CBS TV. And her words and mine will be heard by millions.
Let's get in there. Let's see what she has to say now. Get a reaction.
Stop.
Come on, get in there.
Where the hell are they going?
I think the flight's been canceled.
Canceled? Well, that's perfect. I will go in and console her on nationwide TV. I'll pay her a sympathy call.
Yes, sir. The Vice President would now like to make a sympathy call if we could.
No. No.
No. What do you mean, no?
I mean, no.
What do you mean, no? I want somebody to get NASA on the line. I want to lean on NASA. I'm going to buck this problem right on up the chain to the top. Right away.
To the top.
Damn right. I better get somebody to tell her to play ball.
Guys, John has a problem with your wife.
Is it serious?
We think it is. There's a phone hookup. We've got her on it.
Annie, it's me. Are you all right? Tell me what's wrong.
Johnson.
What's me?
Vice President?
Tell her to let him in with the networks, John. Coverage, you know.
Dedication of the thousands of engineers and other
It's important, John. Huh?
Go ahead.
That's it. Annie. Listen to me.
Are you listening?
If you don't want the vice president or the TV networks or anybody else to come into the house, then that's it, as far as I'm concerned.
They are not coming in. And I will back you up all the way 100% on this, and you tell them that. Okay? I don't want Johnson or any of the rest of them to set as much as one toe inside our house.
Okay.
You tell them that astronaut John Glenn told you to say that.
All right?
Yes.
I'll talk to you in a little while. Can't do that, John. It's the vice president, the head of the program. You're going to think of the broader interests of this program.
You are way out of line here.
I'm out of line.
Yes, sir.
I'm running this show here.
We'll see about that.
Yeah? And I'm thinking of changing the order of flight assignments.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who are you going to get?
Who am I going to get?
You heard what he said.
That's right.
Just take it easy, fellas,
huh?
Step aside, pal. Pilots.
Kansas! Cows! Gladiolas! Isn't there anybody who can deal with a housewife?
Waltzing Matilda,
Waltzing Matilda. Oh, come on, Waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he waddled sadly to
Waltzing Matilda, I thought Hank Williams wrote that.
Nah, mate. We don't have any writers.
It's Australian, huh?
Yep.
Good day, mate.
Hi.
Who are you guys?
We Aborigines.
Aborigines, eh?
Hi. And who are you?
Me? I'm an astronaut.
Astronaut?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do here, astronaut?
I came up here because a buddy of mine's getting ready to fly overhead up in outer space. And I'm going to be talking to him on that dish, helping him out.
Fly over?
Yeah.
You bloke do that too?
You saying you do that yourself?
Nah, not me, mate.
Not me.
See that old bloke there? He know. He know the moon. He know the star. And he know the Milky Way. He'll give you a hand. He know.
Well, we're sure gonna need all the help we can get.
Stand by.
OG, and I feel fine. The capsule is turning around. Oh! That view is tremendous. I can see clear back, a big cloud pattern, way back across towards the Cape. Man, it's a beautiful sight.
Oh, roger, Friendship 7. You have a go. At least 7 orbits.
Roger, I'll understand. Go at least 7 orbits. This is Friendship 7.
Friendship 7, come in. Do you read?
Hello, Friendship 7. Friendship 7, come in, please.
That sure was a short day.
Say again, over, please.
That was the shortest day I've run into, over.
Kind of passes rapidly, huh?
Yes, sir.
I could see some lights down there in Australia, Gordo. Where are they from?
Well, John, all of Perth and all of Rockingham have turned their lights on for you. And, well, we have a few other lights turned on here and there.
Well, they show up very well. And thank everybody for turning them on, will you?
We sure will, John. We sure will. Daybreak.
Possibly it's the heat shield. It's loose. If it comes off...
If the heat shield comes off, it'll burn up.
He'll fry when he tries to re-enter.
Immediately.
coming, mate.
John, can you hear me?
Friendship 7, come in, please.
Let's try something, anything.
Friendship 7, come in.
Alive, do you?
Well, that sounds ridiculous, but they look like fireflies or something. Whoa!
Maybe some Air Force experiment went amok or something. Or our astronomers have been wrong?
Come, do you read me? This is miraculous!
Could it be those fireflies or whatever they are?
Of course not. Fireflies.
Go, Capcom!
Roger, Friendship 7. Will you correlate the actions of the particles surrounding your spacecraft with the action of your control jets?
Stay right over.
Negative. I do not think they were coming from my control jets. Bet the negative. Over.
I tell you what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to get some pictures of these little guys.
Sounds like a good idea, Friendship 7.
And you guys all probably think I'm nuts down there. They're very beautiful.
They look like fireflies on a summer night.
They just dance around. Another day, leaving the fireflies behind. I have no idea what they were. Now, this is Friendship 7.
Friendship 7, do you read me? Boy, that was some night. That was really exciting.
He's going into his third orbit. How much longer are you going to keep him in the dark?
What are we going to tell him?
He's a pilot. You tell him the condition of his craft.
John Glenn is into his third orbit, and the flight is going pretty much as planned. No human individual has ever been so well prepared in advance. So far, the key word on this textbook flight is operational. Everything is A-OK. We haven't been too lucky with the Atlas rocket. Some people say we haven't taken all the safety precautions we'd like to. Is this true?
No, it's absolutely not true.
The only critical point is re-entry. If the capsule is not lined up at the correct angle with the blunt end and the heat shield down, it will burn up.
There is only one hope. We think it may be possible to leave the retro rocket package, which covers the heat shield, on. The straps may be strong enough to hold the heat shield in place. But if this fails...
John, you're going to fly by wire for re-entry. Recommend you do the best you can to keep a zero angle, over.
Re-entry, only three orbits, over?
That is correct, over.
Do you have any reasons for this, over?
Not at this time. This is the judgment of Cape Flight.
Roger. Do you have a time for going to Jettison Retro? Over.
John.
We are not sure whether or not your landing bag is deployed. We feel it is possible to re-enter with the Retro package on.
We see no difficulty at this time with that type of re-entry.
Do you read?
Roger. Understand.
I'm going to start lining up just as carefully as I can here in a minute. See whether the scanners will pick up and correct it in so that we have good retro fire attitude.
If not, I'll correct it myself. Over.
Roger, Friendship 7.
Blackout. No communications are possible for a few minutes. Then we'll know. Friendship 7, this is Cape. Do you read? Friendship 7,
this is Cape.
Friendship 7, this is Cape. Do you read?
Automatic systems are not functioning. He's in flyby.
Big engine. Boy, if we'd only had one of those a few years back. Anyway, the bad news is the entire program is probably going to be scrapped. From now on, the astronaut boys in Houston got the only ticket. Barring, of course, some unforeseen event.
Record of 114,000 feet goes straight off the ground.
Nobody cares about that kind of record anymore. All they want now is capsules up in outer space.
You know, I got a feeling this little old plane right here might be able to beat that Russian record.
You might be right.
Contractors are going to contribute the home, and the furniture and department stores are going to furnish all the furnishings.
That's wonderful.
Hi, which one are you?
Shepherd.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Well, which one's Glenn? He's the one I want to meet.
He's right over there.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Louise, I'm going to go to the moon, I swear to God. I'm on my way. I mean it.
Hi, little gal. Damn glad to meet you, too. Heard an awful lot of good things about you, gal. A lot of good things. John Glenn.
Howdy.
Oh, yeah. I want to meet you, too.
Right, now.
Well, sorry, little lady.
We got it. Steak.
all the trimmings. Just like ponchos.
Yeah. Steak tastes about the same.
Oh, there's a lot more trimmings now, guys. You know, funny. And here I am. I got me 25 grand a year for a magazine contract. Got a free house with all the furnishings. Got me a Corvette. Got free lunch from one end of America to the other. And I ain't even been up there yet.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Oh, you noticed that, huh? You noticed I hadn't been up there yet? Well, I guess they're saving the best for last.
Yeah, I guess so, hot dog. I guess so. Just watch you don't screw the pooch.
Uh-oh.
There he is.
Cooper! What's going on over there?
Well, we're talking to Gordon Cooper, who will be the next American astronaut to orbit the Earth. Gordon. Mr. Cooper, since you're the last of the original seven and the least well-known, could you begin by telling us, who was the best pilot you ever saw?
Who was the best pilot I ever saw? Who was the best pilot I ever saw? Well, I'll tell you. I've seen a lot of them. And most of them are just pictures on a wall.
Excuse me. What wall are you talking about?
I said pictures on a wall.
Thank you.
Back at some place that doesn't even exist anymore.
Mr. Cooper.
And some of them are right here in this room.
Got to be a great pilot. Yeah.
And some of them are still out there somewhere, doing what they always do, going up each day in a hurtling piece of machinery, putting their hides out on a line, hanging it out over the edge, pushing back the outside of that envelope and hauling it back in. But there was one pilot I once saw who I think truly did have the right.
How close did you ever come to me?
That was just a little bit.
Could you look up over here, please?
Gordon.
Give us a smile over here.
Who was the best pilot I ever saw?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at him.
Yeah. You got any beamers?
I might have me a stick.
Well, loan me some, would you? I'll pay you back later.
Fair enough.
Think I see a plane over here with a name on it.
Now you're talking.
Hey, what's that? Anyone got clearance?
What kind of a plane is that?
Aircraft taxiing on ramp. Did you file a flight plan?
Aircraft taxiing on ramp. Did you file a flight plan?
Yeah, I'm just taking her up to ring her out here a little bit. Any objections?
Hey, it's Jaeger.
No, sir. No objections.
You are clear to taxi.
He must have clearance, right?
Yeah, sure. He must. It's here someplace.
Thank you.
greatest pilots in the history of mankind. It gives me great pleasure, great pride, to present to you Miss Sally Rand. Thank you.
Gordo!
Well, I hate to disturb you, buddy, but, we've got a launch here. Well, there's millions of people around the world watching. We just thought maybe,
Yep, well, no sweat, let's go. I'm ready when you are, John. 100%.
Okay.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Complete orbits around the world. He was the last American ever to go into space alone. And for a brief moment, Gordo Cooper became the greatest pilot anyone had ever seen.